Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseman Terang playing up the middle. Pitch is swung on and driven high in the air, deep to center. Churio back, warning track, and there it goes. A long home run to center. Tommy Pham hits home run number one as a Pirate. And it's 3-0 here in the fourth.
Bob, as my old Spanish teacher from high school, Senor Augella, told my dad when I finally achieved a B in that class, and I quote, "Mr. Starkey, miracles will never cease. Tommy Pham has hit a home run, Bob."
Break up the bus.
Did it actually happen? Did that actually happen?
He's following a 3-for-3 day that he had on Sunday. He comes up with a 2-hit day and a home run, his first of the season. Here we are. What date is this? June 24th. What was the start of the season? March 27th. In June, finally you get a home run.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you, Limits, for getting that wonderful clip. How are you today, Bob?
I'm good. How are you, Joe? It's hot. Did you complete your round of golf yesterday since it was so hot?
No, I quit. I was playing with a couple guys. I think Charles and Louis were their names. And I've played with them twice and I've quit both times. Nothing personal toward them, of course. I was playing horribly. And I figured if I'm not enjoying it, and I only paid for 9 holes, why would I play the next few holes? This is ridiculous. I quit.
You can't have the quitter's mentality in golf. Just can't. Got to keep grinding.
I like the quitter's mentality, Bob. Limits, how are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Good to be back with you. And it's good to hear Tommy Pham hit a home run.
How about Nick
Don't
Gonzalez?
Let Tommy Pham
five
get
for
hot.
Five. How about that? I mean, he was batting cleanup yesterday, too, as they continued to shuffle the deck trying to figure out who would be the cleanup hitter. And it turns out to be Nick Gonzalez, and you know he shows you the kind of hitter he can be, where he's putting the ball all over the place from right field to left center to right center. You know, he's certainly got some pop in his bat.
Well, that's where I wanted to start today, Bob. Unfortunately, I've lost my entire show sheet. I think Limits may have stolen it.
Yes, I did, and then I made a copy of it and stole it and gave it to Bob.
Probably.
Yep, even though it's on your laptop, I stole it.
Listen. It was 6 days ago. Here's the question I want to start with today. Are there kernels of hope, Bob? Are there little kernels of hope? It was 6 days ago that I said to Limits, we were going around the diamond. Look at him in there, Bob. Cute little fella, isn't he?
Got some facial hair going now.
Yeah, he does. He's
trying to go
waving
back with
everybody.
That.
Right.
I wish I could wave to somebody, but I'm just waving to you guys.
Why don't they have a camera on you?
I don't know. I feel like they should put one like right here in the center.
Don't you think they should, Bob?
Well,
he's an integral part
have.
Of the show.
Yeah, they do.
I think
either
so.
That or take all your equipment and put it right out here.
We could take that camera for the third camera and just spin it around.
I agree.
You want me to do that now?
Yeah, try that.
If you'd like, Bob.
Okay.
Let's see how it
looks. We'll see how it works through the glass. Are we breaking? Is Bob? Well, if anybody can break a rule and get away with it, it's Bob. Can you see Limits now?
Can you see me?
Oh, my God.
But
there he is.
You can also see the two TV screens. Oh, wait. Now you can't see me. Now you can see me.
A little. Yeah, there you go, Bob. Wave to everybody. You should watch on our YouTube channel, by the way, out there. And now you can see City Limits for yourselves and all his glory.
You know, there should be a zoom in. I don't. There may be.
There should be a zoom in, yes.
I don't know if there is on that camera.
Well, we can also see all the bobbleheads here, Bob, which is very exciting, I think.
Just wait until we add the bobblehead in August to this collection.
Do we have a date on that?
It's August 23rd, but no one's told me about anything about what it's going to look like. I should have final say, don't you think?
No, it should be a surprise for you.
I think it looks great, Bob. You're going to really like it.
You've seen it.
I've seen it, yes.
So have I.
And Joe has also seen it. We've all seen it.
Oh,
No, that wouldn't be good.
So just ask me this. Am I dressed in a suit and tie or am I casual?
Don't tell him that.
That's
one of the big things about it that we can't tell you. We were sworn to secrecy on that, Bob.
I guess so, because.
But I am going to be there. And we are taking batting practice that day. Believe it or not. Okay?
You can. I'm not.
We are, aren't we, Limits? Are you going
we are, yeah. We're
going
to take batting practice. And, Bob, you're throwing out the first pitch, right?
I don't know. No one tells me anything. I'm the last to find out.
You should
it's
sing
your
the
night.
Anthem.
No, you should have your guitar.
Joe should sing the anthem.
Of the national anthem.
Maybe we can do a duet. Well, 6 days ago, we were going around the diamond. And I said, what about Nick Gonzalez? And Limit said, I like him. And I said, that's what everybody says. I've even said that. And then I wonder, well, why do I like him? You know, his numbers have not been great. And do you know what he was batting at that point, Bob? 6 games ago?
Like 212?
226 okay. With a 641 OPS and no power. Okay, so in a matter of really 2 games, but if you want to say 6 games, he's raised his average 100 points. 5 for 5 doesn't hurt, and neither does going 2 for 5, so he's 7 for his last 10. So as we sit here right now, Nick Gonzalez is batting 320 with a 350 on base percentage and an 843 OPS. The optics of his season have completely changed in a matter of like 10 at-bats. And don't look now, Bob, but little Spencer Horwitz is batting 288 this month with a 354 on base, and he plays a very nice first base. Not a lot of power, but this is the guy. This is the guy the Pirates told us we were getting. High on base percentage, professional at-bats, plays a good first base. I'll take this. So let me ask you a question. I think that Ben Cherington should have been fired with Derek Shelton. We all do in this room. But if Gonzalez, if Horwitz, Hank Davis, if all those guys pan out, doesn't that change the lens just a little bit or maybe a lot on Cherington? And what if, and I'm just asking this question, Bob. This is not an opinion, it's simply a question. What if a year from now or so, we have Connor Griffin, Termar Johnson, Nick Gonzalez, Horwitz, and maybe Davis? That's 6 of your 9 players, and they all hit to pedigree. Or 5 of them, or 4 of them even, hit to pedigree. Do we change the lens on Cherington? I'm just asking, Bob. Don't blame me.
Well, there's a lot of ifs in your thesis there.
Well, Gonzalez and Horwitz are hitting, so that's 2 right there. What if they keep this up?
What if they don't? I mean, what if they go back the other way? Baseball's a game of streaks, too. Every one of these hitters has streaks in them.
Well, if they don't, we know. Then the fate is sealed on Cherington. But what if they do? What if this is real?
Second base and first base with those two guys, and let's say they turn into Tommy Herr. Do you remember Tommy Herr by any chance?
Yes, St. Louis Cardinals.
Do you know he had a season once where he hit like 5 home runs and drove in over 100? He was one of those hitters. You know, if he can be somebody like that, who, you know, just puts the ball in play gap, and there's a lot to be said to putting the ball in play. The strikeouts last night, the Pirates, I think, struck out 15 times in that game.
I don't care if they.
If you put the ball in play and you create opportunities, you can still win that way. You don't have to have the overwhelming, audacious home run power, which helps, of course. But yeah, I mean, Davis makes me wonder still, and I thought by now I'd have more clarity on him, and he had a little streak where he was okay, and then he's gone back to, you know, where he was.
Well,
I don't know.
Indulge me with the if, because I don't think it's like some bat crap crazy idea that Connor Griffin and Termar Johnson are going to turn out. Do you?
I think Connor Griffin more so than Termar Johnson, only because I've seen, even though he's young, it's taken him a while to put together consistency in whatever season he's in.
I mean, he's 11 years old right now. What is he, 20?
He's 20.
And he's got 7 home runs in AA.
I think
he leads the team. I'm just saying, I don't think that's a crazy opinion. How about this guy, Bob? Cal Raleigh. Imagine him in the Pirates.
32 home runs.
And they call him Big Dumper.
And nobody's talking about him.
He's on pace to hit 67.
Right.
And that's the kind of guy. And people laugh at me, Limits, when I say one guy could transform this lineup. Can you imagine a guy like him in the middle of the lineup?
Absolutely. Because of the
Big Dumper?
Power.
You like that nickname, Bob?
The Big Dumper?
Yeah.
I think he has almost 70 runs batted in, too. I mean, he's been really prolific with his bat. And where did they get him?
I don't know.
Because I'm wondering if he was a draft pick or somebody else.
They developed him. He's been with them for a while.
He has, the Big Dumper?
Yes. This is just like his big, huge breakout season.
So, he
won a Gold Glove Award, too.
Didn't
know that, but he did do that. Yes, he, let's see where he...
He won a platinum glove for them as well. He's been in Seattle since 2021.
What's a platinum glove? glove limit.
It's the basically the best defender of anyone at that position.
How about this?
I thought that was a gold glove.
Well, gold glove is for, there's American League gold glove winners and there's National League gold glove winners.
So right? The best of both leagues gets a platinum glove?
Correct.
I just learned something, Bob. I didn't never knew of platinum glove winners.
How about that? He's pretty much homegrown. Seattle took him and they've developed him. He's 28 years old now. He's won a gold glove, a platinum glove, and now he's leading the majors in home runs with 32. It's pretty impressive.
That's what the Pirates desperately
right. They need
is a big-time power
I'm
hitter.
I'm sure they thought with Henry Davis they were kind of getting that sort of guy.
Yeah. So if a good number of these guys turn out, does the lens change on Charrington? Indulge me in the if. If they do.
Okay, if it will depend on how fast that happens, because I think they need to make a decision on him at the end of the year.
Yeah,
right.
It would absolutely. Let's just say Gonzalez, Horowitz, and Davis.
If I still think they need more.
I'm not saying they don't, but if those guys pan out by the end,
it may make things look a little better. But again, it's a results based business, and you're 6 years into this, and you're still having the same results. So, however you got here, you got here.
Right. But between now and the end of the season, if those guys hit, the results will be different, and the results are already a little bit different. In fact, a fair amount different, I would say, under Don Kelly. They're 20 and 22.
Yeah, they won last night again, and they got some timely hitting from those guys you mentioned. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, I think I've made up my mind on this.
All right, so you are no longer open-minded. I think most people agree with you.
I'm open-minded, but I can't imagine those two guys changing my entire feeling of what Ben Charrington has done for 6 years. That's all.
Right, but one of the reasons I was down on Ben Charrington is it looked like, and I was always open-minded on Gonzalez, but it looked like he may have failed with the 7th overall pick and the 1st overall pick, still hadn't found a first baseman, etc. So if two of those three, let alone three of three, suddenly reverse themselves, then I think I'm forced to at least adjust the lens a little bit. Maybe I still think Charrington should be fired. But if he suddenly has found a first baseman, and he didn't whiff on the 7th overall pick with Nick Gonzalez, Henry Davis is the one that worries me more than any right now. But
you're not gonna
what
have
if
an
he
answer.
Comes along?
You're not going to have a total answer on him, even when this season is over.
But I sure would like it if he started to hit for power.
So
I'd feel like Gonzalez right now, when you look at the numbers, my mind changes limits on him.
I've always felt pretty solid about Nick Gonzalez. He just needs to hit for more power for me.
You just didn't have any real evidence behind it.
Correct. And, I mean, he hit in the minors. He was a high draft pick. I always wanted to believe it because last year he had 7 game-winning hits, and he's been barreling the ball pretty well this year. I know that Charrington likes to make the excuse, oh, well, the guys are hitting the ball really well. They're a little bit unlucky. Nick Gonzalez, I feel like, actually falls into that category, and last night was evidence of a breakout. Now, I think he's a solid contributor. He's not a 1-2-3-4 hitter in your lineup, but a five or six.
He was the seventh overall pick. He was the 7th overall. That's what I'm talking about. Like, Nick Gonzalez doesn't need to be slightly above average second baseman. He needs to be really good. He needs to be a high impact player who bats in your top four. Maybe fifth.
We need more evidence to be able to see.
Yes.
The capability, I think, is there, maybe just stretching it a little bit.
Henry Davis is the one who's flat out still looking like a bust, unfortunately, Bob. And now it looks like Bart has reclaimed that spot, doesn't it, for the most part?
Well, that's what I wanted to see. I've been on that Henry Davis bandwagon about letting him play more than anyone. But now Bart's back, and they seem to have gone away from Henry Davis. And again, I think we'll not have a clear-cut answer at the end of the season about where he fits in their organizational plans moving forward. You'd want it to be as a starting catcher. I think he's improved himself a lot defensively. I would say he may be their best defensive catcher, even though Bart made a great play last night on a slow roller that could have been disastrous. But I'm not going to know the answers to this. And if you're
what a play by Bart, huh?
It was a great play
by
Bart.
He made two great plays last night.
Well, the guy who overslid second base at the end, that was a costly thing, too, because they could have had the time.
What a horrible play that was, Bob. Yeah. That was like a Pirate play. Just horrible. They had a couple. Milwaukee had some terrible base running blunders last night.
So did the Pirates. Gonzalez himself got thrown out of third.
And second.
And that was a good play by Terang, who deked him into thinking he was going to throw to first to try to get the out, and he didn't. He went instead to third. That was really heads up play.
Yeah, it was. You're right about that. 412-928-9370. And this also then, begs this question. And when I say begs, it's just it's pleading this question with Ben Cherington. Ashcraft looks like he has an arm and looks like he, I think, is going to be a good major league pitcher.
I thought he should have pitched more. I didn't know what their plan was on him, but I thought three innings. I thought they were going to let him go a little longer than that.
Well, look at his numbers so far. He's pitched like 14 innings. Like, I don't know. What is
But he was a starter down in the minors.
Yeah.
So he's been stretched out a little bit.
Point is, they have an abundance of talented young pitching. Is this dude ever going to parlay his upper echelon young talent into a bat, Bob? Please.
Again, we have to, I don't know. I just think that they have so much pitching.
Should he? Yes, I'll answer that for you.
Okay.
Do you think so?
Do I think what?
Ashcraft, Chandler, throw in a veteran, throw in Falter, Keller, make some huge, you know, package where you can bring back a high impact young hitter.
Well, didn't we go
it's
through
got
this?
To be possible.
Didn't we go through this with this Roman Anthony guy a few weeks ago?
I mean, it was a theoretical trade.
It was a one-on-one trade. I am not opposed to any of that. You have, you know, and I understand those who say you never have enough pitching depth because it takes an injury or two and all of a sudden you're not as strong as you once were. But you still have assets.
Here's Ashcraft, Keller, and Bednar. What do you got for us? What do you have?
Well, you should be able to get quite a bit. Those are two potential starters and a closer.
Yes.
At this level. So, yes, you should be able to get a lot. I would not be opposed to any of that. I've said that all along. If I can use my assets in my organization before they come up here and maybe expose themselves for not being as good, I'll do it. Sometimes the best thing you can do is get the guys who still are considered blue chip prospects, trade them while they're blue chip prospects, and get something back in return that can help you.
Right. Here's Chandler and Ashcraft together with Bednar. Can we please get a high impact young
It would have to be
bat.
It would have to be a high impact already proven young bat.
Okay.
You're
yes.
giving up Keller, Chandler, and Bednar in the same trade. You better be getting one hell of a bat.
Yeah, that's how it works. Clements.
I don't think
that's
you have to
how
get
it works.
You better be getting a bat and then something else. That is a lot. That's the number one pitching prospect in baseball. Bednar, okay. Keller's a good pitcher. Let's not act like he's a throw-in in
no,
this
he
trade.
No, he's 1-10, and he could be 10-1.
What was that trade?
This hypothetical.
Chandler, Keller, and
Chandler,
Bednar?
Chandler, Keller, Bednar.
Okay,
you better be getting...
Yeah, right. You still have Paul Skeens leading your rotation. This kid, Ashcraft. Cherington has shown he can bring in veteran pitchers, and you still have really good pitching prospects.
I don't know, Bob. If you make that trade, you better be getting an all-star back. That's a lot,
more
I think,
than,
to give
I
up in one deal.
I would
so
want
you
a
wouldn't do it?
That deal? No, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do it for an all-star bat.
I'd trade Keller and I would trade Bednar.
Crap over and over and over
wait
again.
A minute.
I'd trade Keller and Bednar. I'm not throwing Chandler into this deal.
Nobody's giving up a huge bat for Keller and Bednar. They want good young pitching. You got to give up really good stuff to get really good stuff. That's what you have to do.
Oh, I just don't think you have to give up that much.
Acting like the franchise would never be the same. Did you happen to notice that Mitch Keller's 1-30?
Yeah, but that's not his fault.
I know it's not his fault. He's still not great.
I thought you
and
thought
by the way,
I would take him in the mid as a 4 or 5 on a rotation.
Sure. What's a 4 or 5 going to get you alone? Plus, he crumbles. He crumbles
that.
Every August and September.
Okay. Well, you're saying Bednar.
He's acting like we're giving up Jim Palmer.
Bednar has been on a really good streak right now, which means his stock is up.
Right.
But we've also seen when that goes
yes.
the other way.
What? Again, he's acting like we're giving up Mariano Rivera and, you know, Andy Pettit in this deal.
No, I get his point that if you're going to give three players away like that, you better get something that can
that
help
wasn't
you
his point. His point was even if you get something really good immediately, he still wouldn't do it.
No, my entire point is what Bob was saying. You better be getting an all-star back if that's
what
you're doing.
Oh, I thought you just said even if you got the all-star back, you wouldn't do it.
I would not want to trade Chandler, but if I get a high-impact number 3 hitter that can drive in 100 runs and hit 30 homers, I'd do it.
Yeah, okay. So would
but
I.
But what names are you throwing out there? I mean... Who are these players that are magically falling from the sky that hit 30 homers and driving 100?
What do you think? Those trades never happen?
They're not very...
Rafael Devers just got traded, did he not?
He did.
Or did I miss that one?
No, I mean, it's a rarity.
It takes something...
Doesn't happen often.
Right, it's a rarity to have that kind of pitching in one deal, too. I mean, you have to be willing to get rid of some of your very best to go out and get something that you desperately need.
They should have did the Devers trade then. They at least should have explored it.
Well, they didn't. So now they need to do something else. They have to. They have to.
This is coming after you just said you are very optimistic about three guys on the starting lineup who may be able to change your lens on Ben Cherington.
I didn't say that. I said if these guys pan out,
right, but it's...
then my lens would have to change on Cherington. And even at their best, Gonzalez and Horwitz are not going to be power hitters. You need a bomber in the middle of this lineup.
You need Cal Raleigh in the middle of your lineup. That's
somebody.
What you need.
Devers, somebody.
But see, that Cal Raleigh was...
Let's not act like sluggers don't get traded all the time in baseball.
But I guess if you draft the right guys and suddenly they turn into what...
Did Juan Soto get traded limits? You're acting like nobody could ever trade a slugger. They get traded every year in baseball.
Are they really going to trade for that type of guy with 1 or 2 years left on his deal?
I don't know what they're going to do. That's why they pay Ben Cherington. Go find a hitter.
Well, they might not be paying Ben Cherington after this year, and that's evidence based on the last six.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think he'll be back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I heard, who was it? Who was on yesterday who said he'll be back? Zangrilli? Somebody was saying it.
And you would be okay with that? If he comes back,
no,
he's going to need a new contract.
Not unless some of these guys pan out. I wouldn't be okay with that.
Joe, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think you'll have those conclusive answers at the end of the season. I don't.
Well, you'll be a lot closer
and
to
I also
them.
Will want to analyze what he does at this trade deadline, because he has an opportunity to right some wrongs. He can.
Will you have a conclusive answer on trades by the end of this year?
If there are players who can come right up and play. Again, I'm anti-prospect in terms of what I get in return, unless it's the highest-rated prospect. I just don't want to get the 18th-ranked prospect from somebody's organization or the 9th-ranked. I want someone who's going to be here next year and playing.
Yeah,
and playing.
I want a good, young power hitter.
Who's playing next year? Here. One of these positions.
Who's already playing now in Major League
right.
Baseball.
Same thing.
Who's good. And if you have to overpay to get him, then overpay. If they get a little bit more in the trade, like you lose the trade a little bit
right.
in most people's eyes, you really win it because you still have an abundance of pitching, and now you have a slugger in the middle of your lineup. It's mind-boggling that they won't parlay their pitching into hitting.
They seem to be afraid, right? They seem
and
to
I guess
not...
you could say Ortiz for Horwitz was an example of that, but that's Ortiz and Horwitz, right?
I mean, Horwitz is okay. But on a really good team that already has, I don't know if you're going to want to have him as your first. He's an upgrade from what they have because all they've been doing is getting one-year guys here who are older and just do what they do every year, which is not all that much.
Well, if you have a guy who has, a 350 on base percentage or something like that and is very good defensively and gives you a good at-bat, that's fine. If you have some power elsewhere in your lineup, like if Horwitz does what he did last year in Toronto for 320 at-bats, Bob, which was a 357 on base and a 790 OPS and 12 homers. I'll live with that.
What I'm trying to tell you is that I am tired of the trade that brings in, for example, remember who was that guy that they acquired? Eddie Yean? Remember him?
Yeah, the Josh Bell trade.
Yeah, everybody said, oh my goodness, you're going to get Eddie Yean. Well, where is he?
No.
Double A?
Me
where
too.
Where's Will
no,
Crow?
No, none of that.
That's what I'm saying.
None of that.
If you're going to make a trade, as you suggest, then you need to get someone who's on a roster right now and who has plenty of power displayed, or
yes,
a young guy
if I'm giving up
it.
Bubba Chandler
so,
and Keller and Bednar, I'm bringing back a guy who's already really good. Already really good.
Well, that takes, you're going to have to look at this and try to figure out who.
Yeah.
Because the old regime overpaid in the Archer trade, and they thought that they were getting that guy to put them over the top. And is that fear factor, even though it's a new regime, still there a little bit?
Those are my two favorite names in talking about trade acquisition. Eddie Yean, and I think the other guy's name is Hudson Head.
A failed Musgrove trade.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I think he's out of baseball.
Is he out of baseball?
I don't know if he's still
Eddie
in the Pirates. He's
Eddie
not in Double Heat? A. Hudson Head was his name. He's an outfielder.
Hudson Head, the headless horseman, Bob. So you actually think that a failed trade from a previous regime 8 years ago could impact what Ben Cherington does?
Probably not, but Ben Cherington has not signed a free agent to a multi-year contract like the previous regime last did in 2016.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ben Cherington has shown tendencies that he's not willing to break off of. Not signing free agents, not making big trades, not signing bats in free agency. So unless he actually does something to change that, and I'd like to think 6 years is a big sample size, I'm not willing to believe in the slightest that he's going to do it.
Four of those years, they were tanking. So the real sample size for me is the last two. And yeah, he should have been fired, Ben Cherington. But it's like the Steelers quarterback conundrum with their offensive coordinator and head coach. Andrew Filippone has underscored this rightly. Every time somebody brings up a quarterback, well, they should draft one. They should bring in this guy. Well, what about the coordinator and the head coach? Won't anybody be ruined if they come here, or will they not fulfill their potential? Maybe not, but does that mean you just don't go get a quarterback? It's the same thing here. Like, Ben Cherington's the GM, unfortunately, but does that mean you just never go out and try and make a big deal? I mean, he shouldn't. He's the guy. He's going to have to do it.
Then why hasn't he? That's the million-dollar question. All that is true. Everything that you said, Joe, is correct. But the fact that he has not shown the willingness, and maybe he's just comfortable in his own skin in the position that he's in and calling all the shots and thinks he's safe, where he's just banking on his own internal guys so he doesn't have to make the big move, the big risk.
It's time.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a little breaking news here.
Yes.
That I just see from Larry Brooks. Do you like Larry Brooks?
I know Larry Brooks.
Yeah, I do. I've met him a few times, but he says, breaking, the New York Rangers have notified the NHL they are sending this year's 12th overall first round pick to Pittsburgh to complete the JT Miller deal instead of deferring the transfer to 2026.
Wow. Whoa.
So that means the Penguins would have the 11th and 12th picks.
Wait, does that make sense or not? I had an opinion on this and I
don't know.
I'm
just reading what he put here. Again, the Rangers are sending this year's 12th overall pick to Pittsburgh.
I would have taken the 12th overall pick if I were the Rangers, because don't they think they're going to be good so their pick will be lower?
That's what I would have thought. I would have taken it 12 because
I would have taken 12 now.
Mike Sullivan, and they're going to spend some money and bring in.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or you could trade up for McKenna, maybe, if that was even a possibility. Also, Bob, tweeters are saying that Hudson Head is currently playing in Altoona. Would you like to guess what he's batting?
No.
116 in 86 at-bats.
Again, these are the kinds of names that you hear. And then when you hear them, people will, oh, man, he's the 20th ranked, but he's up and coming. He's got – everyone has this potential
for
these guys.
But this is not what I'm talking about
I'm not suggesting that. What I'm saying is I'm tired of those kinds of trades.
Yeah, I think everybody is. I think everybody is.
And that's maybe a further indictment to your – suggestion here that if they were tanking and they were trying to get assets and they got all these.
Oh, he failed.
He failed.
For
the most part, none of these guys
Turned
out to be what you thought they'd be.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy that they got in the Juan Soto trade. Just look at him. James Wood.
22
home runs. He's better than Juan Soto himself right now.
Totally.
Look
better.
At him. Yep. Look at him, Bob, up on the screen. He's 6'7 and he's pounding balls off the foul pole. And he's 22 years old.
And they got Abrams, didn't they, in that same deal?
They got
a shortstop.
And they got Mackenzie Gore, who leads all of Major League Baseball in strikeout rate.
See, that's the kind of trade when you have, but you have a guy
who's... But all those guys were prospects when they got him. They weren't yet good players.
But that's a good GM doing his job then.
Yeah, it is.
If you have something to sell, and that's a big sell, Juan Soto, and you get that in return, and
it's not Cherington that gets somebody else in here to make the trades.
Well, again, whoever did pull that trade did a masterful job.
Yeah, he did.
Because you saved all the money you would have given Soto, and now you have three young guys who are playing on first-time contracts. So,
it's time to win. And I still maintain, and you can laugh at me and everybody else, that they're not that far away.
I didn't laugh at that suggestion because I tend to agree with it. In this division, Milwaukee's a team they beat last night. And Milwaukee's one of the better teams in the division. They're not that much better. They really aren't. But you have to make sure that you take care of your deficiencies, and they have plenty of them offensively. And this was why it was so frustrating to watch them do nothing this past offseason. So if the draft picks aren't there, and you can't count on Connor Griffin next year, I would hope you could. I would hope he'd just do a meteoric rise through the system. But if he stumbles along the way at some point, you can't count on him. There's got to be somebody
else.
Well,
you're going to need a fill-in like Kiner Falefa for him for another year because they're clearly waiting for him. And I don't blame them. I mean, he's...
No, he looks like a James Wood type. He's a
their
big,
next
strong
shortstop.
Guy who can do a lot of things with power gap.
So, Bob, in 2027, a couple of years ago, I predicted the Pirates to win the 2027 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Their batting order is going to be Connor Griffin leading off, followed by Horwitz with a .360 on-base percentage, Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, Nick Gonzalez, Termar Johnson, and then they need a designated hitter, a catcher, and a third baseman. Now, if you had a team that could actually hit, you live with Key Brian Hayes at third base. You can't live with it if nobody else hits.
No.
Limits, what do you think of that lineup?
Still needs work. Still needs improvement. I mean, I still think that they need two bats, regardless of what ultimately happens.
Yes, that would be the DH and the third baseman, hopefully, in the future.
You left out McCutcheon.
Would you bring McCutcheon back?
In 2027?
Well, I'm just saying.
He'll be older than Aaron Rodgers.
But he may be their best hitter still.
I know. That's the crazy thing. I don't know. I quit, Bob. I'm giving up.
I think the trade deadline is going to be very interesting, and I wonder how Ben Charrington will approach it.
Don't trade anybody.
I want to see what he does because he may sense that his time here in Pittsburgh is running out. Unless he has assurances that he won't be fired. But if he doesn't know and he's in that position where I have to do something here to make this my extension, you know? If I'm going to get another deal out of this team, I need to do something. Sometimes that's a bad thing. It could lead to trades like Chris Archer when you feel too much pressure.
Can you imagine if, and this is just an example, theoretical. If Vladimir Guerrero walked into that lineup tomorrow, how it would just, everything would feel different with one guy like that.
It makes everyone else better.
Yeah,
it
makes everyone else better.
Lineup
it changes how they approach your lineup.
Who they pitch to, who gets better pitches because of.
It just makes everything look different. He has to find a way to bring in a young slugger. And the obvious way is to part ways with some of this young pitching, painful as it might be. Maybe even combine the young with the veterans.
Well,
Bednar's gone, don't you think?
Because his stock is back high, and they missed an opportunity to do that before when it was high.
He's pitching great.
He is. He's doing well. I thought last night Mattson was terrific. That's a young kid.
Oh, my God, was he good.
Blowing away guys and showing a lot
of
emotion.
How about the at-bat with Yelich?
11 pitches, I think it was.
Holy ostrich milk.
And that's one of the hottest hitters in the game, too. So, yeah, that was good. But, I mean, do they have potential closers out there? Yes, I do think so.
Yeah, they can find a closer.
A lot of guys could be closers.
Yeah.
If you have the right stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, that's going to be one of the things we watch closely here in this deadline. The draft, I don't know what you can make out of it so much. There are a lot of different ways. We'll never get a clear answer on that for several years.
Bob, did you see where a man proposed to an AI chat bot girlfriend? An AI chat bot girlfriend.
Is this like a Manti Te'o thing?
I don't know, but he said this is actual love, and she said yes, so he's marrying a bot. Limits, what do you make of this?
Well, at least she said yes, I guess.
He cried his eyes out when she said yes.
That's unreal.
Chris Smith was initially skeptical of AI, but he began to use ChatGPT software in a voice mode while mixing music, and he fell in love with how helpful it was. More specifically, Bob, how helpful she was. So he fell in love with a bot.
Okay. What did he use? Software? Hardware? Whichware?
Limits, I don't know. Does she spring to life in this case? Is she at all real?
What is she, Frosty the Snowman? Like, I don't think that.
Do you go on and surf a little bit, do you, Austin?
Surf.
Or whatever you call it. Scroll.
Yeah, scrolling.
Okay, if you found somebody on there who was actually responding to you, but you didn't know it was unreal, it was just a bot, would you engage the bot?
No, I would not engage the bot. I would not be at all interested in the bot.
How about if the bot was interested in you?
Your best bet might be a bot, Limits.
Really, Joe?
Or your best bot might be a bet.
You just love to put me down, huh?
No, I'm not putting you down. I think you could attract... I think you could attract a bot. I think it would be wonderful. She could sit in.
I'm not even going to touch that topic. I'm not even going to go there, Bob.
You're right to pass it up.
Bob, a lot of my friends tell me that I should watch Love Island, the show that you want me to go on.
Oh, I watched that the other night. It was horrifying.
So I watched one episode of it last night, not going to lie. And I was like, I don't fit on this. I look nothing like these people. They look like,
but
and
that
I, they're
could
like
be the difference.
Social media
that,
influencer.
No, that could
I'm
be
a 29-year-old model in Australia.
Right. But guess what? You would be the outlier. You'd be somebody. Here I am. I am a
Here's this 24-year-old scrawny white dude that just shows up to the villa with some nice hair. That's it. I mean, like,
wow.
You don't have much of thought of yourself here. You have much more than that. You
it
should
feels
put
like
that out there.
Maybe it's just self-awareness, Bob, comparing myself to the people that are on TV. There's a reason why they're picking these people on TV all this outlandish thing.
It feels like problems would be lessened by dating an AI person, wouldn't it, Bob, and marrying one? Less
how
problems?
How do you know that? Maybe there are more. Maybe she demands more things from you.
Did you ever hear of the woman in New York City who dated a dolphin?
No.
It's true.
What are we doing?
It's true.
Just swimming with the fishes.
She dated a dolphin.
Oh.
I'll get you that story in a moment, Bob. But yeah, I think this is Peter the dolphin fell in love with a human.
How would you know that Peter the Dolphin loved the human?
Can you define love limits? I don't know. Bob, do you take the dolphin on dates then? Were they seen in New York City at various restaurants? Can the dolphin get out of the water for a little while to go on a date?
I think you have to go into the water to be in the dolphin's world.
You have to be in the water the entire time. What are you, Aquaman? Aquaman hanging out with the dolphin?
I'm telling you, this woman, Margaret Howe, fell in love with a dolphin. She spent 10 weeks teaching Peter the dolphin English words, but he had other things on his mind, Bob, apparently.
Other things on his mind.
This is incredible, this story. Anyway.
Where did you find it? Just out of curiosity.
It's well known.
Oh.
This is a New York Post headline I happen to be reading.
Okay.
Well known that a woman fell in love with a dolphin. Sorry, never heard that.
Look it up, limits. Dolphin, love, person. Google
or
it.
Text her, did he buy the AI bot a new hard drive instead of a ring?
That's what I was kind of poking
gifts
at there.
Gifts would be easier,
It wasn't
too,
the soft
limits.
Drive he was yeah. using. It was the hard drive.
It's a good one there, Bob.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, Bob.
You can tell it's July or June. Yeah. We're in this dead period where things become big topics.
I'm telling you, there's opportunity for the Pirates and for Ben Cherington right now. Especially,
do you think Bob Nutting has made up his mind about Ben Cherington's future?
Let's answer that question next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Limits, I'd like to publicly apologize that I said that your best bet for getting a girlfriend was to date a bot.
I accept your apology because I know it's wrong, because I know what's in my heart and I know what's behind the scenes.
What? What does that mean, Bob?
Bob and I were having other discussions that we're keeping from you.
Yeah.
You were talking behind my back when I went to
another subject.
About his girlfriend situation?
No, not necessarily.
Interesting. All right. I guess you're going to keep that from me.
It was a Love Island conversation.
My daughter watches that, and I watched it the other night.
Oh, it's
flat
a waste
out
of time.
Weird.
Every girl I've ever met watches Love Island. They all talk about it, and my sisters watch it, friends, everyone. They all watch
it. It's a waste of time, in my view, and I hate to say that because it's...
Yeah. What's the attraction? When I was watching it, they had blindfolds on. And we're kissing each other in blindfolds. It was unbelievable.
Well, for some people, that probably is the attraction to watch it.
Maybe.
It's like the dating game. You don't see who's on the other end of it until you go to you think you know the person. You go around them. Oh.
And you're like, that was interesting.
That's not what I thought.
And then these people have known each other for 8 seconds, and they're pretending
like the bachelor
that they
or bachelorette.
Know. Yeah.
I mean, you're essentially dating 25 people at the same time.
That's wild. I mean,
okay. Is that okay? And you're going to fall in love based on this?
And they act like they're falling in love. And that's why I suggest a bot limits. It's not that bad of an idea.
You know, Joe, not everyone that goes on those shows are the true representation of what humanity is. And thankfully,
no, I know.
It's not.
I'm just saying there may be pros and cons that you're not considering.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's definitely some cons. The pros would be you're probably least likely to get into a lot of arguments.
That's a big one. I think, Bob, not a lot of money spent on gifts and things like that.
Unless your bot wants something, then, you know.
An electric gift for the bot.
Yeah, whatever
it may be. Is this like
you send the bot an email?
This is recalling SpongeBob when, who was the little evil guy who was married to the computer on SpongeBob?
I didn't watch SpongeBob? I was not allowed to watch SpongeBob growing up.
Mr. Somebody was an evil little guy who kept wanting to steal the recipe for the...
For the Krusty Krab.
For the
Krabby Patty.
The Krabby Patty.
Yeah, the Krabby Patty.
And his wife was a computer, if you recall, which you apparently don't.
Well, no, I barely watched the show, which a lot of people are going to say, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Limits didn't watch SpongeBob.
Limits, you feel like a lot of people are down on you these days. I feel like you're taking a lot of heat, and I don't want to contribute to that. The texters, other producers, me, maybe even a little bit Bob. I don't think Bob is.
No, other producers are coming at me?
Yeah.
Who?
Intern Dom.
Well, Intern Dom goes at everybody. Yeah. Let's just brush that off.
And he thinks you don't like him either.
I do like Intern Dom.
You have a funny way of showing
he
it.
He made an interesting impression at first, but I do like Dom, yeah.
You're stirring the pot here, Joe. I see what you're doing.
Are you surprised?
Why am I always the one accused of stirring the pot,
Bob?
Donnie says Plankton is the guy that
was Mr. Plankton.
Married to the computer.
Maybe he was a doctor, Bob. I don't know. I don't know if he went to school, but he married a computer, and I'm telling you.
Karen is the computer wife, according to the
texters. Karen, yes, is the computer wife. Yours could be Betty or Body. You could ask out Body, the AI bot, like this guy who asked one to marry him.
Texter, Starkey's on one today. You good, dude? You good, dude?
Bob, also the woman who dated a dolphin, was that necessarily a bad idea?
Well, first of all, you have to tell me how they hooked up.
She was his teacher. I told you she was trying to teach him how to speak English, and he got distracted. Not that he was speaking a foreign language. She was trying to teach him to speak, essentially.
Yeah. And so through that, she fell in love.
And so did he.
How would you know? I know how he would show his love. I know that. How would she?
Read the story,
Bob. I'm not going to read the story.
Her name's Margaret, and his name's Peter.
Margaret needs to get some therapy.
Well, I think she's no longer with us, from my understanding.
The dolphin ate her? What happened?
No. Did a shark eat her? I mean, did they swim in the wrong type of water?
They went to the wrong part of the sea.
I don't know.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know what happened. What was your question, Bob, about Bob nutting? I guess we go to great lengths to avoid talking about the pirates.
Do you think he has made up his mind already? Because he didn't.
Yeah, I do. I think he's keeping Ben Charrington. That's what I think. Yeah.
So that would result in a new contract?
When does Charrington's contract run out?
I don't know. We never know that answer, which is surprising.
They don't even tell us the manager's contract. They're the only team in sports where we don't know what their manager was signed to before.
But if you made the conclusion that the manager was not doing his job, how do you defend the decision to keep the GM who was fueling the roster with
You don't. He should have been fired. I don't know how Bob Nutting rationalizes that. It's not rational behavior. However, the fact that Charrington is still here, if suddenly a bunch, like this has happened pretty suddenly with Horowitz and Gonzalez. Suddenly their numbers are looking a lot better. So if Horowitz is a guy with, a high on base percentage like he had last year with Toronto, he's very good defensively, I think.
Yeah, he's very good defensively.
I mean, he could be your first baseman.
And that's fine. That's
and Gonzalez is suddenly hitting .320.
I know. He went up, though, with a 5-for-5 performance. You go 0-for-5 or 1-for-10, that can drop too quickly.
Sure.
Listen, I want Nick Gonzalez to do well. I think he's a fun player to watch because he's out there busting it all the time. He's a pretty good defensive second baseman, and he goes gap to gap. I want for my second baseman, if I can't have a lot of big-time home run numbers, I want a guy who can do that. Gets on base, make things happen.
Maybe he'll be your shortstop. Maybe Tamar Johnson will be your shortstop. Maybe one of them will be a third baseman. Maybe Connor Griffin will be your shortstop. You know, of an infield of Horwitz, Tamar, Griffin, and Gonzalez.
I would take that.
Limits? If you like that idea?
If it all works out, I would take that.
Have we reached a conclusion this hour?
I would take that as well, yes.
Would you trade any pitcher in the organization not named Skeens? I hope so.
Well, you know, eventually they're going to trade Skeens. You know that.
So well,
you
yeah,
say
of
that
course.
For now.
For now.
But when
yeah,
that
yeah,
time
yeah.
comes, you know, you ask yourself, what would the return look like on that? And if you play your cards right ahead of that, you know, and get a lot of people in other trades, you could certainly make your minor league system very good and supply this system up here. But that's so many ifs. I hate to talk about it because then it requires everyone that they acquire to become good, just like the Soto trade is done for Washington.
I know. But I guess the whole point of the opening topic today is that some of the ifs around here are leaning toward maybes. And that's Gonzalez and Horwitz. You know, maybe.
But can you make, gone can from you make if a to solid maybe. Decision if you're just in the maybe land? You know, well, if you go into next year with maybe,
it takes a long maybe. Time to get out of maybe land.
I know. It could also go the other way quickly, too. So,
what do you think of Gonzalez? You convinced he's going to be a player, a good player?
I hope so.
Well, hope ain't a plan.
Right. And are you beyond hope? You think he will be the answer?
No,
every day?
I'm not there yet either. But at some point, you got to make decisions. All I'll say is I really like what I've seen in June from him and Horwitz. And Horwitz has at least last year as a track record with a mm-hmm. 357 on base. Give me that. Give me that. I'll take it. Batting 288 this month. Give me that. Give me a 280 hitter who gets on base a lot and plays a great first base. Give me a second baseman who's a professional hitter, could hit around 300. Then we got to start talking about adding power. I'm telling you, one guy can transform this situation. I don't know how to get him. Yes, I do. You have to make somebody an offer they can't refuse that includes young pitching.
You think the Chandler has to be in that deal, though?
No.
Like it's a necessity.
I think Ashcraft might be really good. Anybody with two eyes who's watching from other teams has to think so, too. Based
well,
on
that's
his
the
first
nice
seven
thing
appearances.
About putting those guys on display here on a limited basis. You know, you may certainly look at other teams and say they're going to be interested because of what they've seen. And his stuff is pretty good. I think what we saw from him last night was indicative of what he's been doing in the bullpen. Now as a starter for at least one game, he can do a lot. But I also could figure that he would be somebody I'd want in my rotation next year. And if I do,
sure.
Have you seen enough of Mike Burrows to make that determination? He's looked good
not
at times.
Not really. No. I mean, so many of these guys we haven't seen enough of.
Anyway, Thomas Harrington, you saw him earlier this year. He was supposed to be one of those guys.
Yeah. I don't know about that. That's a highly questionable one for me. I thought he had a little Quinn Priester in him. But then again, Quinn Priester has taken a turn for the better in Milwaukee.
He certainly has.
His last outing wasn't great, but he's taken a turn for the better.
I think he's like 4-1 with a pretty decent ERA.
How about the pitching matchup tomorrow?
That's a big one, yep.
Did you see that one, Oh Limitless Wonder?
Yeah, Skeens is going to go against who? Jacob Mizorowski, good
he's
right-hander.
He's another guy
for
who can throw it
100-plus,
and it's like two power pitchers going head-to-head in this one.
He's a story. 23 years old, 6'7", and it's just electric. What does he have here? 11 strikeouts and 11 innings. He's made two appearances, and everybody's talking about him. I can't wait to watch that one, Bob.
Yeah, that'll be good. And that's a day game, I think, tomorrow, is it?
2:10 first pitch.
2:10. I wish it was a night game.
Why?
Just because I have more opportunity in a day. We're, doing stuff.
All right, Bob.
Speaking of day games, would you like, how about this? Every Friday home game for the Pirates starts at 4:05. Would you like that instead of 6:40?
Friday.
Every Friday home game.
I'm taking a page out of the Wrigley Field.
Why wouldn't you like it?
Wrigley Field does it all the time. They start their weekends early in Wrigleyville land.
Happy hour. Your happy hour is at the game. Why wouldn't you like that?
How happy are people going to be when they can't even get to the game because they're still at work?
They could get there easier because they beat rush hour traffic.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock?
Everybody leaves work early on Friday.
It works
Fridays
in Chicago. They get, it's a different market, I know.
It's also a different tradition in Wrigley, and those games on Fridays have been going on for...
Do you like 6:40 at... It used to be 7.
I like 7:05 much better, especially on a Friday night.
I kind of do, too. 7:05 would be... 6:40 is not the right time.
No, Friday and Saturday nights are incredible at the ballpark.
The earlier, the better. You can go to a Friday night game now, and you're home by 9:30.
Okay,
it's amazing.
You move it back, you're home by 10, considering how fast the games are going. They moved it up.
That's a big difference, limits.
Half an hour?
Yeah.
It's remember, half an hour.
Hey, Joe, do you remember
time.
When they used to be 8:05 starts?
No.
Oh, yeah, at Three River Stadium.
8:05?
Yep.
And the games used to go for 3.5
That's
hours.
That's what I mean. You could be there until one of them nights.
All right, Bob, let's get to the Batconi and Mongoose. I had a lot of plans for you today. We're going to do our second segment of, or third segment of Pittsburgh Quarter Century Sports here. And you and I are going to do our top five athletes. We're going to dive into a Post-Gazette mailbag, but you're leaving.
I have some television things I need to do.
I know, it just makes me sad. Would you like me to share the sandwich with you?
No, thank you. I thought you were cutting out the bread.
It's only half a sandwich. If I'm going to have bread, it's going to be a little mini sandwich.
So you're
sandwich.
Keeping track of everything. It looks good.
Yeah.
You've lost 12 pounds?
Yes, I have.
Congratulations.
And I intend to lose more. And I intend to play a lot of golf.
Even though you quit yesterday in the middle of your round?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Batconi and Mongoose coming up next. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And the 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 Peters Township. Sunny today with a high of Greg Lloyd 92. It's never too hot for Malzie to play golf. Fan weather was brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions, and the Mongoose will be on the Fan Hotline presented by Bob. Do you think that nickname sticks? He says people over on the south side will yell to him from the other side
Mongoose.
Of the street, Mongoose. Yeah.
I think it will stick. I think he likes it too. I think he does. I haven't talked to Brian about it.
It's a tough one. I never meant that. I never meant that one to catch on, the Batconi and Mongoose. It feels cumbersome, limits.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.